I know it's a newer song, The Goodness of God, but the more I sing it, the more I want to sing it, because God is so good. And we just want to give him thanks for all that he is doing, for all that he has done, and even thank him in advance for all that he's going to do. And if you just think back in your own life with the Lord, and when you came to know him as Savior, just that moment of new birth. And just this past week, Scott, with our young people that are coming, we're averaging around 20 or so youth that are coming to youth group right now. And it's wonderful, but the majority of them, probably 12 or so, there is two kinds of kids that come to youth group. And Pastor Ted calls it professionally, you have the church cats and the street cats. Those who have been exposed to Christianity, they come to our church kids come to youth group, and they know what worship is about. They know what the Bible's about. They even can tell you maybe some verses. Then you have the street cats, and the street cats, they don't know. They don't know about the Bible. They may have heard about the Bible. They know about Jesus maybe as a swear word, but they really don't know him. Scott was, I'm bragging on him, he was teaching on John 3 and is talking about being born again. And some of the young people that were there in youth group said, what do you mean, be born again? Just like Nicodemus. What do you mean? But I've never heard that before. Be born again. This is in Zephyr Hills. This is in our church. It's not in a third world nation. It's in our church. What do you mean to be born again? So Scott had the privilege of going to Nicodemus' story and telling him about the wonderful verse. Some preachers call it gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Scott got to share that, and he gave three Bibles away. So pray for our youth. And pray that God will continue to work through Scott and through the youth sponsors, and and as well as for our children's, our kids' club. That's the same thing. They have church cats and they have street cats, and getting them to mingle together. The ones that don't know about the Lord, they don't know. They don't know. And what an opportunity to share the good news. And so we're thankful for that. So if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to start and we're going to dive in and looking at the letter to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go in chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, this is a letter that was penned by, of course, the Apostle Paul. He wrote many of the letters of the New Testament, and this was on his way, on his some scholars say second missionary journey, and in Acts, and where he was going and traveling, and he came to Thessalonica, and as he did, he didn't really meet total 100% reception and agreement. There was some interesting things that took place as he traveled to Thessalonica, and it was pretty unsettling to him as Paul and Silas went, and it's found in Acts chapter 17. And a little bit background of that, and so basically in Acts 17, verses 1 and following, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another King Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. And the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And so we have that background as we look at this letter of 1 Thessalonians that Paul pens to the church. And if I had to, again, summarize the first chapter, I would say it's thanking God for each other. Thanking God for each other. You know, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, to be among God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be grateful and to be thankful for each other. And tonight it was good to say the testimonies. You know, I'm so thankful for the testimonies, the witness, the faithfulness of the Andrews. I'm so thankful for, and who would you put in the family of God there, in our church family, I'm thankful for. And here Paul is basically saying to these believers who sort of kind of rescued him because he was in deep trouble, he was grateful and thankful for them. So let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to read, there's only 10 verses in the first chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. The Thessalonians' faith and example here. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because of our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Thanking God for each other. When was the time you really took that time to say thank you? Now, we just went through, not too long ago, a holiday on a Sunday morning to thank someone very special in our world. Yes, mothers, right? Now, how many of us would have genuinely, don't raise your hand, men, how many of us would genuinely say, hey, thanks, Mom, if we didn't have a national holiday to remind us to thank Mom? Sobering question, right? That is. But oh, in the body of Christ, there should be that moment where we come together and we are to come into His gates with thanksgiving. And one of those elements or truths of thanksgiving is we should be thankful for each other. Thankful. We see it in verse 2. We are to give thanks. It says there, we are to give thanks. Paul was in Silvanus and Timothy, they were there in the church and they were giving thanks for these believers, probably because, hey, I remember when you rescued us from that mob. We're thankful. But we, says there, we give thanks to God Who do we give thanks to? We give thanks to God. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And they say, not just sometimes, not just when there's a national holiday declared. No, he says always. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. One of the ways that we can demonstrate thankfulness for one another in the body of Christ is praying for one another in the body of Christ, mentioning you in our prayers. Now, I know there was a season of life in the church, and some churches do seem to fall in this trap and fall in this rut, fall in this routine of saying, oh, well, I'm not going to, you know, we on Wednesday night, we pray for Aunt Sally's ingrown toenail. And we know, Lord, that she's in pain because of her ingrown toenail. And we ask that you deliver it. And we say, well, we're not going to pray for her ingrown toenail. And somehow we miss the point. The point is that here, Paul would say, listen, I constantly, always give thanks to God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. And I think Paul did it specifically and intentionally, and he mentioned them all that he knew to the Lord, each name. He probably said, Lord, I pray for Jason's household. Lord, you know, it was a ruckus there. They came in and trashed the whole house, and then they dragged him out. And so I ask, Lord God, that you will give him protection and safety and peace. And I ask that through this event that he will grow into the mature believer that you want him to be, and that you'll give him that courage as he stands before the magistrates and those in the city council who want to hurt him and harm him, that you'll give him that boldness to be a light and to be a shining example of Jesus. I mention you in our prayers, and Lord, I thank you for Jason. I need people to pray that way for me. You need people to pray that way for you. And we do that in the body of Christ. I thank God for you. You often have heard me say that Zephyr Hills is a land of milk and honey. And you know why I say that? You know why I say that? Not because they got a Starbucks. No. Not because they promised a Chick-fil-A. Not because there's a Panera Bread. Not because there's a McDonald's. I say it's milk and honey because of you. Because of you. Each of you here, because of you, and those who aren't here who come Sunday morning, the Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills, you make this place like the Promised Land. Why? Because of your love for one another and your love for God. We give thanks to God always for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. So it's important that we pray for one another specifically and intentionally, that we will all grow into maturity in Christ. We need that. He says there in verse 3, he says, we give thanks because we remember. We remember before our God this about you. We remember before our God and Father, your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope. Wow. If someone meets you on the street and they say, hey, you know about that Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills, how would you describe them? I would be thrilled to say, listen, let me tell you about their work of faith. They were planted over 85 years ago because they believed that the Word of God was the inspired Word of God, without error, as originally given. And they began to preach and teach the Word of God. That's what they were about. And then their labor of love. Man, as they grew in Christ and as they began to walk with Jesus, they wanted others to know about Jesus. And they were so committed to that that they even sent people overseas to share Jesus with others. And then they supported a whole movement called the Christian Missionary Alliance to send people overseas. Really? Yeah, they sent teams, even short-term teams. They went to Chile. They went to Mali several times. Did you know that? Yeah, they did. What else? Well, man, they even support a group of girls in Thailand, rescuing them from sex trafficking. And they're committed to that. They've sent teams over there to Thailand. They've sent teams. They even poured their lives into a young couple who were planning to be missionaries, and they went to a place that we're not supposed to say out loud, but we call it Green Mountain, and they poured their life into them so that they would share the gospel. And we sent a team there, their labor of love. Why did they do that? Because they had this firm commitment, a steadfastness of hope. Hope in who? Hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Paul was saying this about the Thessalonians, and he had only been there 3 weeks when he shared in that synagogue. Just that short time. He knew of their work of faith. He knew of their labor of love. He knew of their steadfastness of hope because their eyes were fixed on Jesus. Were they perfect believers? As we get into the letter, no, they were not perfect believers. But, man, they had their eyes on Christ. We give thanks to God. I hope and pray that one day, if the Lord tarries and if he takes me home, I hope that people don't remember that I love coffee. I hope they don't remember. They might remember, oh, he plays a pretty good guitar. But I sure hope that they remember my work of faith and the labor of love for Jesus and my steadfastness of hope in him. May Jesus only be our message. May Jesus only be our fragrance. May Jesus only be our song that we sing. That's amazing. He says, we remember, so we give thanks. And then, thirdly, in verse 4, notice he says, we know. What does he know about them? We know brothers, and that includes sisters. We know brothers and sisters loved by God. This is what we know. We know that God has chosen you. God has chosen you. You. How do we know that? Verse 5. Because the gospel came to you. The gospel came to you. Remember when the gospel came to you? God was kind of opening up the heavens, kind of speaking to your heart, saying, hey, I'm going to tell you some good news. And this good news is going to change your life forever. He has chosen you. Because the gospel has come to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. It hasn't just been in word. Yes, you've heard the word. You've heard it proclaimed. You've heard it declared. And you've received it. But it came in power because Christ came into your life and the Holy Spirit filled you and changed you. He has forgiven you. He's rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of his Son in whom he loves with full conviction. And so Paul says, we give thanks to God for you because of your genuine, authentic relationship with the Savior. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. And so because of that, in verse 6, he says, you even went the extra mile. You became imitators of us, of the Lord. Imitators of us. You know, imitation is a compliment in some way. And people are looking at you. You've heard that said before. They look at how you live and how you walk and how you talk and how you act and how you react, how you respond. And if someone comes along and says, you know, I really want to be like you because of your walk with Jesus, that is a high compliment. That's a high compliment. And they were saying that to Paul says that you, Thessalonians, you imitated us. You wanted to be like us in the Lord. You wanted to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ in the Lord. You've received the word. How did you become like us? How did you imitate us? You received the word. You still stayed true to the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So when the hard times came, you still stayed true to the Lord. When the tough times came, you stayed true to the Lord. Others may have fallen away, like we talked about this morning, but not these believers. They stayed true because they imitated Paul and Silas. They stayed true. They received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God uses the tough times, those moments of affliction, to capture our attention, doesn't he? And we have to receive his word with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And then there's verse 7, that so that. What's that so that therefore? What is it therefore? So that you would become, or you became, an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Wow. They became examples to all believers. They were following Paul and Silas and Timothy's example. They were imitating them in such a way, but they received the word through their affliction with joy. They became examples to all believers in the region. And there, verse 8, not only has the word surrounded forth from you in those areas in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has gone forth everywhere. Wow, what a testimony. Isn't that a great testimony? I'm so thankful for you because of your walk with God that your testimony has known throughout the region. It's known everywhere. When people say your name, they know that you are a lover of Jesus, first and foremost. So that, it says, your faith is God has gone forth everywhere, another so that there in that part of verse 8, so that we need not say anything, verse 9, for they themselves report concerning us, that means those people everywhere in the region, they're telling us about you guys and gals. They're telling us about your faith. They're telling us how you've received the word in suffering and affliction. And they say, they give us this report, the kind of reception we had among you. They tell us that, man, you guys were very generous and kind and protected Paul and Timothy and Silas. And then they tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So this whole chapter is filled with thanksgiving from Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, or Silas, all three, and they're thanking God for these believers in Christ Jesus because of their testimony and faith, their testimony among them. They wanted to become imitators of Paul, their testimony of how they rescued Paul, their testimony of how they even shared Christ, and their example was known throughout the region. And they were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And others even reported that about them. And they turned from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for a Son with anticipation, I believe, from heaven, whom was raised from the dead, and Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. That was their great hope. And they were hanging on to it. And Paul was saying, I thank God for you. So, what does that mean for us? Are we thankful for the body of Christ, for the church? Are we thankful for this body of Christ? Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters sitting across on the other side of the pew? I remember as a kid growing up in Alliance Church, and we went to church. It was a small church, and as we were growing up, there was a lot of tension. You could sense it as you walked in, and there were people who were on the right side of the church, and there were people on the left side of the church, and they had not spoken to each other for years and years and years and years because they didn't like each other, and they didn't really love each other. They just put up with one another because it was their church. And that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord to be united in Christ, to be of one body, one mind, one heart, one spirit, one fellowship. And it's God's working in us that gives that ability to love one another. And it gives us that ability to say, I am thankful God for. Who are you thankful for? I'm thankful for the body of Christ. Do you intentionally pray for each other in the family of God? For one another? Do I pray for you? Yes. Do you pray for me? I hope so. Do you pray for those sitting next to you? I hope and trust you do intentionally for them, that they will grow in the grace and the knowledge and in the favor of our Lord and Savior. Do I remember their work in the Lord, their labor of love? And if we knew each other's story a little bit, we could brag on each other, not to give you a big head. That's not the idea. Because some of you have done ministry in tough places. Some of you have been faithful in difficult situations. Some of you have lived the gospel and proclaimed the goodness of God in ways I don't know. But I sure would want to be your cheerleader. To say there's a man, there's a woman of God who has served God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, no matter the risk, because they wanted others to know of Jesus' love. And I'm thankful for them. Do I remember their work in the Lord, their labor of love? Do others see my work for the Lord and labor of love in me? Do they see your labor of love for Jesus? Or do we allow the things of this world to capture us and keep us from presenting the fragrance of Christ? Am I confident how God is working in my brothers and sisters' lives? He is. He longs to do more. Would others imitate you because of your love for the Lord? I'm smiling because what came to my heart and mind was, you know, every dad, if you're a parent, you know, you love having kids and you want, especially your sons, to grow up and to be like you a little bit. Right? I have been blessed with two sons. I'd love for them to be like me, but my wife, she prayed that they would be taller than me. Actual story, truth. And my daughter, she didn't get that prayer from mom. My two sons, they're taller than me. My daughter, she's 5 feet. She's not taller than me. But I hope that they would want to imitate me in the sense that of my love for the Lord. In fact, I would long for them and long for you to love Jesus even greater, deeper, with more fervor. Would others imitate you because of your love for the Lord? And are you known for your faith so that others need not say anything bad about you? In fact, if they have that language like a sailor, you know, they maybe swear or cuss, but they see you in the room, do they automatically stop because they know that you are a man or woman of God. Paul here was thankful. Thankful for the believers. All throughout Scripture, you can look that up. It runs throughout his letters. He said that of the Philippians, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He said that to the Corinthians, I give thanks to my God always for you. He said that to the Ephesians, I do not cease to give thanks for you. He said that to Philemon. He says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. He says that again over and over to the Thessalonians, as we mentioned, and to the Colossians. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And we're instructed to pray for one another and giving thanks for each other. We are to give thanks for one another. I pray that this week you will, and show that and demonstrate that by praying for each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our heart tonight. And Lord, I do confess my thanks for this congregation. I thank you for the men and women of the Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills. From the very beginning, when Judge McGavran began the church, many, many years ago, when he opened up the Word of God the first time to preach the Word, to open up the Scriptures to people's hearts so men and women, boys and girls could hear the truth of the Word, I thank you. I thank you for the seeds that were planted. I thank you for the lives that were attracted to you through this church over the years. I thank you for the salvations that were birthed in this church because of the faithfulness of Sunday school teachers and the faithfulness of youth workers and the faithfulness of children's workers, the faithfulness of men and women leading Bible study groups. I praise you for the decisions that were made through the preaching of your word. I thank you for the missionary heart of this fellowship, how it longs for others to know Christ and to make him known, and how they've sent teams to support our missionaries overseas, and how you open up doors for that to happen. And I praise you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, that you are even now working a good work in this congregation, that you are molding and shaping us to be men and women, boys and girls, that reflect Jesus Christ, that we are imitators of God. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to shine brighter, to burn hotter, to be more courageous, to exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives to others we meet in our street, and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter even if it brings us times of affliction, that we will stay true to you because you are with us always. You never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, help us to be bold. Help us to be brave, and help us to be committed and confident in you. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to uplift one another more in prayer, intentionally, so that we may all grow into maturity of the faith and to bring you glory and honor and praise. And Lord, even if we don't know how to pray specifically, that we will pray for one another. Because you know the need. You know the area of each of our hearts where we need you to work more. And so, Lord, we pray now for our congregation as a whole. And I thank you for them. The fragrance of Christ. That it is beautiful. The enemy wants to go about like a roaring lion whom he may seek and devour and destroy. But, Lord, you are stronger. You are mightier. And so, Lord, you protect your flock. You protect your people. And may we be clothed with the full armor of God and make our stand against the enemy's schemes so that we may bring you glory and honor and praise, for you are worthy. So we thank you for the victory in advance that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so, Lord, I praise you tonight. For these men and women, I praise you tonight. For the families that call the Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills, their church. And I praise you, Lord, that you are working a good work in us. And I ask that you will motivate us and move us to be more like Christ in these days ahead. That, Lord, we will share the good news and that others will be attracted to you because they see Jesus Christ is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life. So thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in the faith. I thank you for their perseverance. I thank you for their steadfastness of hope. And I give you glory for being part of the family. And this I pray in our wonderful Savior's name. Amen and amen. Amen. So thank someone tonight. God bless you. Have a good week.